and including music that she has composed. So thank you so much for being here tonight to help us have a very special service. Justin Speaker and his wife Brittany and their two children are members of Faith Church in Spencer. We are grateful to you, Justin, for providing messages at Harbor for this Lenten season. So welcome, Diane. Welcome, Justin, Brittany, and all of you. A few comments about the application of ashes to our foreheads, which will happen a little later this evening. As the ashes are applied, we hear Genesis 3:19. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. It's important for us to understand that it's optional for the ashes to be received, and that they are not to be seen as a display of piety before others, but simply a reminder of our own sinfulness, our mortality, and our utter dependence upon the grace of God and the power of Christ's resurrection. So as you come forward for communion, Justin will be first with ashes, then you can proceed to either station to receive communion. And we have some usual reminders about communion. At Harbor of Joy, all who believe in and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior are welcome to receive communion. The ushers will guide us forward to a choice of two stations. If you wish to be served grape juice instead of wine, simply hold your hand out to the server with your palm down, and the server will provide you with grape juice. And if there's a need to be served where you are, please inform an usher so the servers can come to you. And I always like to mention, for those watching from another location, you are encouraged to prepare bread and grape juice or wine to serve yourselves as the congregation is being served here. So we will proceed with our call to worship. What do you think you're doing? We may have asked this question of a child or a spouse, and perhaps not in a very kind way. What was God doing since the events of Genesis? He was fulfilling his promise to send a Savior, even though it included a period of 400 years when people thought that he was doing nothing. What about us? What are we doing to prepare for the second coming of Jesus? Are we sincerely seeking him? We know God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he does expect us to follow and worship him, to strive for a deeper relationship with him. How fortunate we are that he is patient with us. Praise God, who loves us through our downfalls and lifts us up again and again. The time is now for us to choose the path of faith. Diane. We will join in singing, first of all, You Are My King. And if you would like to stand. Thank you, Diane. You may be seated. And we'll proceed with our first responsive reading. O God, the Father, creator of heaven and earth, have mercy on us. O God, the Son, our Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. O God, the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide, have mercy on us. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons and one God, have mercy on us. I would ask you to join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, with this service this evening, we begin the official period of Lent, 40 days commemorating the 40 days you spent, Jesus, fasting and overcoming temptation in the desert before beginning your public ministry. One of the things we can do during Lent is to reflect on the aspects of our lives that we would like to change. May we use this time individually and as a congregation to set aside time in prayer and study to prepare to celebrate your life and the life you offer us through your love and sacrifice. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Justin.
Good evening. Like Becky said, my name is Justin, the speaker, and let's move this down a little bit here. My wife Brittany and I live in Spencer and we get to worship at Faith Lutheran. Actually, I just got done being church president there, and so my time and my schedule kind of opened up a little bit. So it's a pleasure to be here. I've got 2 Corinthians 5:20 on there, but I'm actually going to talk about that a little bit in through my message. But I'm going to look at the book of Matthew in chapter 6 in our reading to start with. This is verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of the others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. And truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then it goes into prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners and seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And in verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber on the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show others that are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Then it talks about treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin can destroy and where thieves break and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Here ends the reading. This passage asks us to humble our acts of righteousness and heavenward focus that be fitting of Christians preparing to enter the Lenten season. And when Becky called me Like, well, what am I going to say to these people? And I do ag sales for a living. I'm not a pastor full time. I'm not even trained. I'm just a lay person that loves Jesus and loves to get to talk about Jesus on occasion. And I was honored when Becky called and asked me. And when we look at Lent, we start trying to look at ourselves and to focus on, drawing nearer to Jesus and trying to get rid of some of that junk. And I'm 43 years old, so I've been a sinner for 43 years, and I've got junk. But we all do. But if we can focus towards Jesus, in this 40 days, Jesus takes the journey to the cross for us. And our attitude should not be those of self-seeking hypocrites, like it says in Matthew, but reflect a heart focused on the kingdom of heaven. And we look at three different kinds of religious acts within that reading: charitable giving, praying, and fasting. The point is, some are the same when applied to each of them. They are not to be done in a way that attracts attention to ourselves, or God will not reward them. The message is straightforward enough, but each part presents its own challenge when applied to 21st century. In verses 19 through 21 present an even more timeless and still quite challenging message of putting one's treasures here and focusing on the treasures in heaven. We want to get rid of those treasures here and not hold them as idols, if you will. Verse 1 states that the principle to be applied to the three types of religious acts is be aware of the practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. And for you have no reward from your Father in heaven. And when we look at piety, can be translated into righteousness. A translation more in the line with the common English usage, which loses the connection between the passage and the broader message from the Sermon on the Mount. But when we're Christians, we don't need to say, oh, look at me, here I am, and we've ran into those people in our lives, I'm sure, that think they're better than others. And I kind of have the joke in my mind that when we get to heaven, there's going to be people confused how they got there, because they're not this sinned or they're not this. And I'm sure you've probably all ran into those type of people. But we need to be Jesus followers. And when we get to that verse in Corinthians about being ambassadors for our Lord, we have to be Jesus followers. And we look at the rest of the passage is thus part of the broader description of righteousness, and it occupies a lot of this message. But I also pulled some stuff from Psalm 51 tonight. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all of my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are right in the verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth and sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with the hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, and let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. When you look at that psalm, David, was running, from some of his own transgressions, some of his own mistakes. He'd even committed adultery with Bathsheba. But he cleans, the Lord washes him away, with hyssop, and he'd be clean as white as snow. And Christ took on our sins, our garbage, our junk, and we just need to give it to him and to focus. When we look at Jesus' application from verses 2 through 4 in that Matthew reading of the principle to almsgiving or giving to the needy, most easily is transferable to the modern situation. Therefore, the most challenging for us to follow directly. In his day and ours, it was in the community seen as reasonable reward for those who provide charitable gifts to be honored by having their names associated with contributions. Are not churches, schools, and plenty of other institutions today filled with the names of those who contributed to them? And God bless them for, giving to those things. But if we can do those things without needing the recognition, I think that is where we need to focus. Sometimes we can get caught up in the recognition. In defense of this practice, it can be no doubt be argued that not doing this would decrease the level of giving to many worthwhile causes. But is this not the very hypocrisy that Jesus here indicts? Our society may be understandably be impressed with such grandiose giving and seemingly selfless acts, but God, he doesn't want you to need the recognition. But it's easy to do, easy to want. In the application of the principle to prayer is along the same lines as the giving. It should be done privately as to be rewarded by God rather than people. I do ag sales, so I drive a lot. And good Christian music, or lately I've been working on the Bible in a year, so I actually just stream it through my radio, so I'm actually farther ahead because I'm about 6 hours on the road each day. Gives me plenty of time to get into the Lord. But I don't, try not to say, I'm 36 days ahead or whatever, but it's good to focus and to direct your mind through that. But it could be easy, I could see it where it could be easy to say, well, look at me, I prayed this much, or, the Pharisees back in the day, 2,000 years ago, when they were mad at Jesus because he was teaching them that it wasn't by works that we were going to get them into heaven. It's by grace, and grace only. And I lead a Bible study on Tuesday nights, and we were just talking about how these Pharisees are supposed to be the religious leaders of the day, and how they just never got it. They were hard learners. And eventually they took Jesus to the cross because of their difficulty understanding how truly important Jesus was, and we didn't need to follow all these rules. It was just through grace. And grace is amazing. And prayer is amazing. And when I help with the confirmation kiddos, I would tell them, it doesn't have to be this eloquently written speech like our Lord's Prayer. It's a communication. Have a conversation with your Lord. But have that conversation. Don't forget to do that. Build that relationship with your Lord and Savior. And that's where I was looking at 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Each and every one of us is Christ's ambassador. We go up to Via de Cristo weekend every January and up at the Bible camp. And it's really a lay-led ministry, and there is some pastoral talks. It's how I met Becky, and I can't say no. I get caught at weak moments, but it's lay people coming to encourage people to become leaders in their faith and in their communities and being Christ's ambassadors. It's my favorite weekend of the year, probably. I just got done with being on the leadership team of it, and probably some of the guys get sick of me because I'll look up how many days it is till January 8th. But we're all 315, by the way. I just love it. And one of my dear friends is going to be the rector this next year, and I called him, well, how you doing? And he's not probably like me where he has had his team all put together before the last weekend got done. He hasn't even asked anybody yet, but we balance each other out. But we can be ambassadors in Christ and through a lay-led ministry that fires you up to go out and just be energized for the Lord. And as we look to Lent, you know, it's time to, A, focus on ourselves and our relationship with the Lord, but also to be an ambassador. And you can do that as simply as being kind, inviting somebody to church that doesn't necessarily attend on a regular basis. But just remember not to whack them with your Bible. It probably turns them off. But we can all be ambassadors to Christ. And I'm going to skip forward to a part where it says treasures in heaven. The basic idea of Jesus' message here was simple and fairly well known, but we need to focus on getting and inviting people to Christ through that ambassadors. And I hope that one day when we get called to the heavenly home, that we are welcome with, well done, good and faithful servant, that maybe just one person that we were involved with that maybe brought themselves to Christ and made it to heaven. You know, and then we can consider that a win. But as we just keep focusing towards Lent and keep diving into our written word and our Christian communities and coming to Lenten services, you know, and focus towards Jesus, it can bring you closer, and it's amazing when you spend some time with him, whether it's in prayer or reading in the word, what you'll get. I read multiple of the passages that we've been reading in our Tuesday night study several times. I mean, we all have been in our Bible, but it's amazing how each time where you're in a different walk in your life, where the message relates to you just a little bit differently. So I encourage you to dive into the word and to keep focusing on Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Justin. And our second responsive reading. Gracious God, you created us out of the dust of the earth and breathed into us the breath of life. By your hands we live, and to your hands we return when all our days are done. Grant that the awareness of our mortality may lead us not to fear, but to faith. In our weakness, teach us to look to you for strength. In our failures, to turn to you and find forgiveness. And in our dying, to await the gift of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I will invite the servers to come up and cleanse their hands, and then we will experience the words of institution. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, he blessed it, and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you." In like manner, after the meal, he took the wine. He blessed it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for your sins and for the sins of many. Drink you all from it. Do this in remembrance of me." And all is prepared. Diane will play Spirit of the Living God. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And our benediction for tonight is a reminder in Jesus' own words that Matthew recorded in chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Go in peace and serve the Lord.